Coach P's perspective.
Serve God, work hard, family coaching, play my part. Faith is something that I use every day, game changing moves. Sit back, relax, and listen. Inspiration is my mission. Twitch, got your back, Coach 96, we do the most. PCO be in my brain, CSL is in my veins. Ain't no stopping or no blocking, heaven's where I aim. In order to succeed, we cannot be lazy. Repping Jesus all the time, and yeah, we're going crazy.
Hey there, family and friends. Hey, Coach Chad Parks here with Coach P's Perspective, where we discuss coaching, inspiration, and faith. Today, before we get started, I want to give a real quick shout out to the Lane Frost brand. The Lane Frost brand is family-owned, operated, inspirational, and they are all about character. This is my favorite apparel brand. I only wear Lane Frost brand hats. They have t-shirts, cologne, you name it. Again, this is family-owned and operated. This is right here, small-town America, and it's all representing the late, great, world champion bull rider Lane Frost, who was one of my icons, one of my heroes growing up in the state of Oklahoma. So make sure you check out the Lane Frost brand. You can go to lanefrost.com or jump on all the major social media outlets and take a look. They always post inspiration and they bring light to everything they do. Again, shout out to the Lane Frost brand. All right, hey, before we get started today, I just want to say thank you to everyone who has subscribed to Coach P's Perspective. I truly appreciate it. And to those who've taken the time to go in and give us a 5-star review, write a review, those matter. I read every single one of them, pumped about them. So I like to feature reviews from time to time. Today, I want to feature a review from Coach Landon. Coach Landon is a great wrestling coach, a man I've gotten to know, and he's super inspirational. So Coach Landon says, "Wouldn't expect any less. Once again, Coach Parks is such a strong influence. Always positive, empowering, and thought-provoking. As a coach and father, I recommend this content to any and everyone." Thank you, Coach Landon, man. Appreciate it big time. My middle name is actually Landon, so we got that in common as well as coaching wrestling. All right, now today, I'm excited about this because I'm going to do a deep dive into coaching. Coaching is my passion, what I consider my mission, calling from God. All right, it's a way that God has given me these gifts and abilities and a heart's desire to be able to positively impact people's lives through coaching. And, you know, I've written a book, Game Changing Moves. There's a lot of things about coaching in that. I want to really go in today and focus on a few different areas. And so for those who are listening, this is, like I said, sort of a deep dive into coaching, into the culture that we try to build into our programs. And hopefully you can take some things and build those into your programs as well. Coaching is a skill, right? There are some God-given talents. There are some things that, you know, maybe people are just naturally better at than others. But overall, coaching is a skill. And whenever you have a skill, you have to work on it to try to improve that skill. You must be intentional about becoming a better coach. And so today, that's what we're going to look at. How can we be a better coach? There are a number of things to go through on here. All right. So if I were you, I would make sure to grab a notepad. Take some notes on this. Of course, you can. It's a podcast, so you can always go back and listen. These are not just things I came up with in my own brain, all right? So these are things I've learned, you know, along the way, speaking with great coaches, having great coaches, interviewing other coaches, reading books, watching videos, and then implementing these things, along with the things that, you know, I learned from my own assistant coaches, the things that come into my heart, and then years and years of experience. I've been around coaching forever. My dad's in the National Hall of Fame for coaching wrestling. I was, you know, on the mats, in the locker rooms with them. He coached football for 37 years. I was in the football locker rooms. I was in there watching film as a little kid. You know, so I've been around coaching, right? I get to hear the behind the scenes. I get to hear the conversations. And then eventually become an athlete and play for a lot of those coaches. And then move into coaching myself. So there are so many facets to this, and I'm thankful and grateful that I've had this. I have a big perspective because of that. So now let me go through and share some of these things. Before I get into the details, I believe that all good leaders are coaches. A good teacher is coaching. A good CEO is coaching. And not only are they good coaches, right? So like I'm a coach, I'm also a teacher, but while I'm teaching, I'm out there coaching. And vice versa. But all these people that are high-level performers, not only are they coaches in some form or fashion, they also have coaches. we should all have coaches in areas of our life that we want to grow, we want to get better, and we need help moving forward and achieving. All right. So this is for everybody. It doesn't matter if you're a sports coach. You either are getting to coach someone, or you need a coach, or you're being coached. And these things are all going to go into that. So what is a coach? There are a number of definitions out there, some really good ones. One of my favorites, because it is so simple yet so true, is from Coach Martin Rooney. He has a book called Coach to Coach. It's fairly new. I just finished reading it myself, and it is phenomenal. And Coach Heath Esslinger, who was a Division I wrestling coach, works for FCA Wrestling now, one of the wisest coaches, best communicators in America. I actually had him on a different podcast episode, so you can go back and look at that. But Coach Heath Esslinger had a very similar definition. Okay, so here's the definition that Martin Rooney gives us. He says, what is a coach? A coach gets you where you want to go when you can't get there yourself. That's simple, right? A coach is a person who's going to get you where you want to go when you can't get there yourself. They're helping you along. Now, Coach Esslinger says there's an 1800s definition of coach. And we're talking like, you know, like a horse and buggy type thing, right? A coach, it picks people up and it moves them from one place to another, all right? It takes them where they want to go. So that's what a coach is. That's what we do as coaches. We need to take our athletes or whoever it is that we're working with and take them from point A to point B when they cannot get there themselves. We're helping them along the journey. And again, this is a skill, something we have to improve on all the time. I also, before I get into all the details of this, I want you listening, if you are a coach of any sort, have a vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. When I was growing up, I remember my dad used to have in the middle school wrestling room, hanging up on the wall. And he coached middle school and high school. But hanging up on the wall, he had that scripture written. And it was just like on a piece of a poster board. Where there is no vision, the people perish. When I was young, I remember looking at that and I had no idea what it meant. But I remember seeing it often when I was at wrestling practice, kids club, through middle school, and thinking like, oh man, like if you lose your vision, you're going to die. It's not what it means. We got to have this vision in our minds, in our brains, a desired outcome of where we want to go, who we want to be. If you don't have one, man, it's hard to keep moving forward and putting one foot in front of the other each and every day. So find things you're passionate about and have a vision for them. So as a coach, and when I say this, again, remember, we're all coaches. So you can apply this to your job. You can apply this to parenting. You can apply this to being an actual sports coach. What's your vision? Where do you want to go? Whenever you know that, then you're willing to put some time, effort, and energy into it. All right, T, time, effort, and energy. All right, so starting out, number one, transformational coaching. And I want to go over transformational coaching, and I want to go over relational leadership. Those are two big areas I'm going to cover today. And honestly, like maybe I should break this into part one and part two, you know, episodes of this podcast. I'm going to try to get it all into one, and maybe I'll come back later and go into details on some of the points. But transformational coaching. Okay, what is transformational coaching? Transformational coaches, they're literally there to make an impact on your life, a positive impact on your life, to help transform their athletes. They want to transform them into the best possible athlete and human beings they can be. A transformational coach is what we need all around the nation. If you are a coach, you need to be a transformer. Okay, and I'm not talking like Bumblebee. You need to be transformational and wanting to transform lives in a good and positive way. A transformational coach is a coach that realizes it's not about me. It is about the athlete. Remember, I'm taking them from someplace that they are currently to where they want to go and they can't get there themselves. It's about the athlete. It is not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the athlete. All right? I'm here to make them successful and to bring out the best in them. That's my job. That's my goal. I want to help them reduce their fears. I want to help them conquer those fears or get beyond those fears. I want to help them build confidence. I want to show them how to be courageous. Those are things I'm doing to help transform their lives. Okay, so transformational coaching versus transactional coaching. So as a coach, you can either choose to be transformational or transactional. And I can say throughout my career, throughout my life, I've had a number of wrestling coaches, football coaches, baseball coaches, track coaches, okay, different sports I played, jiu-jitsu instructors or coaches, professors, whatever you want to say, they're coaches, all right? Almost every coach I've ever had in my life has been transformational, and that has been a blessing. But I have had a couple of transactional coaches in there. And the thing I learned from them is I never want to coach like that. All right, so what is a transactional coach? A transactional coach is somebody who's in it for themselves. They are in it so that the athlete can make them look good or make their program look good. They're the people who they only care about the best athletes, and they only care about them when they're winning. When the athlete's not winning, they brush them to the side, and the athlete means nothing to them. When I very first started coaching, came out of college, coached in college a year, started coaching high school, I think I was a transformational coach, but there was definitely some transactional tendencies because winning meant a lot. And it does, right? Even today, we love to win, we hate to lose. But there's a way, way bigger picture. And I think I did a good job building relationships with my athletes early in my career as a coach, but wasn't as transformational as I should have been. Okay, and after a couple of years, I learned more and more about that. Transactional coaches use their athletes to make themselves look good. The athlete wins, bam, there's a check mark right there. There's something I can add in my bio to look better as a coach. Okay, that's the mindset. You're not winning, you get pushed to the side, and you don't matter at all. That's the thought process, and that's the action process of a transactional coach. And, you know, if you're out there and you're coaching and your team wins and you're all hype and hugging and high-fiving everybody, your team loses and you're throwing a fit and you don't want to talk to anybody or talk to, you know, whatever, okay, you're not yourself. You got to check yourself. That's being transactional. If you love your athletes, you love your athletes. If you're there for them to help take them from one place to the other, you got to be transformational, not transactional. And it is proven with actions, all right? And I'm not saying that you're going to do this right all the time. Coaches are humans. We mess up just like everybody else, all right? Transactional coaches cause wounds, coaching wounds. There were a few years ago, okay, and we've heard this many times, like a dad wound, all right? Maybe a dad who wasn't in your life or didn't do a good job, whatever, and then people carry these father wounds or these dad wounds. It's the same thing with coaches. I was at a leadership coaching meeting, it was a couple of years ago. It was invite only, bunch of high-level coaches there, and there's a coach, Coach Dave Crowell from Pennsylvania. In the National Hall of Fame, he's won everything, right? State titles, national championships. He's an amazing speaker, communicator, and you know, just somebody, you are in trance when he's speaking to you, and you're learning so much all the time. And Coach Crowell, he captured the room almost right away. But again, these are a bunch of high-level coaches that were in this room, okay, guys who have proven themselves successful. And he said, began to talk about transactional coaches. And he said, how many of you have ever had a coach that said something or did something that hurt you and it hurts to this day? It got in your mind, it got in your heart, and it still bothers you. And there were men in this room that have been coaching for, you know, 10 years, men in this room that have been coaching for 30 years. And a number of coaches raised their hands. A couple of them even, you know, began to tear up as they were speaking, and their throats are, you know, their voices are breaking, right? Their throat's getting tight because they're getting so emotional about this coach that wounded them. And that's what transactional coaches do. They say things and they do things that truly hurt you, right? And I tell you this right now, man, if anyone's listening to this and I coached you and I hurt you in a way like that and caused a wound like that, I'm sorry. I try to do my absolute best to be transformational, not transactional. Okay, so as coaches, we always want to be transformational, not transactional human beings. Leaders, you got to be the same way. If you only care about the people that are in your business or that you're in charge of when they're winning or, you know, they're making you a lot of money and they're being whatever success looks like in your business and you don't care about them the rest of the time, that's transactional. You are not going to build or sustain what it is that you want over a long period of time and have success during that period of time. And if you do, you're going to burn a lot of people along the way. All right, got to be transformational. All right, so I'm going to move to my next point, and this is relational leadership. The very first chapter of my book is called Relational Leadership. And it, for me, is one of the strongest forms of leadership, one of the strongest forms of coaching, all right? Learning to build relationships. There are four words as a coach that I believe are the most powerful words that have been spoken to me. And those words are, I love you, coach. I love you, coach. Whenever my athletes say that, man, talk about piercing your heart. And thankfully, gratefully, I have a number of athletes who say that to me, who have said it or say it on a regular basis. I have athletes who graduated a decade ago that'll send me random Facebook messages or text messages. And, hey, coach, I was thinking about this, yada, yada. And I love you, coach. I appreciate it. Okay. Athletes that are in my room right now that say the same thing. And I say that back to them. All right. I tell them and so here's the thing. When I say that, I want you to understand my background and that I was like an emotional brick house growing up. Don't come from a touchy-feely family. My dad and I say I love you every time we get off the phone now. My mom and I, the same thing. But my mom and dad did not grow up touchy-feely. Our home was not that way. And there were a lot of years, I don't know if anybody said I love you. Okay, my mom and dad probably said it to each other, but you know, I loved my dad, he loved me. We just didn't communicate that. We didn't talk that way. I was a very tough and stern wrestler, right? And so didn't do that. And I mean, I know for years and years and years, until my senior year of high school, I remember my dad and I had got into a big argument. And then at some point we, you know, made up and he said, I love you. And I said, I love you. And I remember him being like, whoa, I don't remember. It'd probably been, I don't know how long it been since he said, I love you. Got in college. I had some teammates who ended up being roommates, great wrestlers. And their family is a touchy-feely family. And they do say, I love you. And my middle name is Landon. Sometimes, you know, they'd be leaving, heading back home for a weekend or something. And now they call me Lando. So, hey, Lando, love you, man. See you when you get back. And I remember at first, it was so weird to me. Like, why would another guy say, I love you to me? I didn't understand it. Or they might give me a hug and say, I love you. And it was so awkward. But something inside of me was like, that's how it should be, right? And then eventually I allowed myself, gave myself permission to open up and to begin to say, I love you. And now having children of my own, 4 children of my own, and a wife who is very touchy-feely, a huggy family, right? I openly say, I love you to people that I love because those are powerful words. They're not words that are filled with air, space, void. They're powerful words, man. And I'm going to talk more about love here in a little bit, but love is a powerful thing. Okay, so saying I love you is very good. When your coaches say it to the athletes and the athletes say it to the coaches, and again, it's not an inappropriate thing, right? But when you truly do, man, you've made this deep connection and you've built these relationships. And you must build relationships. The coaches that I'm the closest with to this day, the coaches that got the most out of me and helped push me to the limits, built relationship with me. Because this is human nature. My dad used to say this all the time, and who knows, I've seen different people credited with coming up with this quote, but it doesn't matter. Somebody said it at some point, and it's true. People don't know, or people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? So you have to let your athletes know that you care. People that you work with, people that you know you are leading, let them know that you care. And there are multiple ways that you do that. One is just communication. Communicate really well and literally say it. But whenever you build relationships with people, that is when things are going to take off in your program. That's when just incredible culture is going to be built. That's when you're going to be able to make these major impacts in people's lives. So what is relational leadership? You know, we'll go give you the definition of a coach. Told you what transformational coaching is, transactional coaching. Relational leadership, what is it? To me, it's being very intentional about building relationships with those people who are in your charge. I love you, them saying that, you saying that, whatever. That's just a little piece of that, right? So, but we're very intentional about building those relationships. And talking about love, I think that love builds culture. Love builds culture. So we have a thing with our athletes, gratitude, effort, and toughness. Get is what we say. We get to do this. Gratitude, effort, and toughness. We have a grateful attitude, grateful that we get to be in the sport, we get to train, we get to work out. All right, there's a lot to this. Effort, giving full effort all the time in everything we do, on the mats, during training, in the classroom, at home, and toughness, being tough human beings. Wrestling is a very physical sport. Lots of sports are physical, and you got to be mentally tough. In life, you got to be mentally and physically tough. But one of the toughest things you can do is love somebody. So when I was a teenager, I was pretty rough. Didn't mind throwing hands a little bit, all right? But I remember one point I was trying to act tough, and my dad said, out of nowhere, he said, hey, Chad, you know what's tough? And I'm like, what? And he said, it's not acting tough. It's love. Love is stronger than anger. It's stronger than hate. Stronger than any other emotion. And you have to be vulnerable and you can get hurt. love is the toughest thing you can do. So whenever you're building culture and you're building relationships, love is a huge component to that. If you're a believer, God is love. All right, it's a huge component. Here's something I really, really like. People often say, you know, well, I give tough love. John Gordon, best-selling author, he says it this way, love tough. Whenever you lead with love, then you can be tough on your athletes. Then you can be tough on people that you're leading. If you come out and you're just tough right away and you haven't built relationship, rules without relationship lead to rebellion. I'll say that again. Rules without relationship lead to rebellion. But whenever you build relationship with somebody, and love is a big component, you know, a big component, a big piece of that. If you build a relationship with somebody, then you can have rules, then you can hold people accountable, and they're willing to do those things and even go the extra mile on those things in those areas. You got to do that. Build relationship. They know you care. And you can't fake that, right? That's real. It's authentic. You can't fake caring. People, like, here's some things you can't fake in life. You can't fake being in great shape. Okay, so if I'm going to go out there and compete, I better be in great shape. Otherwise, everybody's going to know pretty quick, all right? At some point, you get tired. Fatigue makes cowards of all men. So you can't fake shape. You can't fake passion, heart, all right? Can't fake those things. So you should be passionate as a coach. You should be, you know, your heart should be huge as a human being, as an athlete, as a coach. And you have to be real. You got to be authentic. And your athletes will see through it if you are not. The people that you are leading, they will see through it if you are inauthentic. All right, so let's make sure that we are being true, we're being real. But here's the thing. I can hold, and so when you think about love, people often think about like, oh, rainbows and sunshine, or it's all like soft. Mm-mm. Remember I told you a while ago, love is tough, right? If I love and care about somebody, I will hold them to the highest standards. I will hold them accountable. As a coach, I'm going to hold my athletes accountable because I want them to succeed because I do love them. If you care about somebody, you don't just let them slide. You don't let them just drift through life. You don't let them fall away. You hold them accountable. Here are the standards. Here are the things that I highly expect from you. I'm going to walk with you on the journey, and I'm going to help you along the way. And if you get off the beaten path, the path that we expect you to be on, we're going to bring you back onto it, all right? Holding them accountable. But I can do that so much easier whenever I lead with love. New love, then you can be tough on people. Then you can be tough on your athletes. Then they're willing to listen and hear. You've earned their respect. You've earned the right to speak into their lives. If you just come out and you lead with toughness, they might listen to you out of fear, but you're never going to develop that relationship. You're never going to get the most out of them. They're never going to reach their highest potential because you didn't connect. You got to connect and build relationships. When you love your athletes, here's the thing, right? They begin to love one another. When they begin to love one another, they will go to battle for each other. In a sport like wrestling, it's an individual sport, but it's also, you know, also a team sport. Man, I remember wrestling in college. One match in particular just comes into my mind. I don't know who I was wrestling. I just remember it was a battle. And I went off the mat, and I'm jogging back to the mat, and I look over, and my buddy Chaz, who is my college coach, it's his son, my buddy Chaz, one of my teammates, I remember him like pounding his chest, pointing at his chest, and he was saying like, heart right here, it's all heart. And I won that match all through heart. I came off the mat, you know, and he comes up and he hugs me, love you, man. That was, you know, that right there, that's what it's about. And, you know, he's in my ear and he's pumping me up. That dude loved me. His brother loved me. My teammates, right? We loved each other because our coach loved us first. He set that as an example and as a standard in our program. So we all held each other accountable. We all loved each other, and we battled for each other. It's easy sometimes to give up whenever you're in something alone. Dude, whenever you're out there fighting for somebody else, fighting for your team or fighting for somebody else, you will leave it all on the mat. You will leave it all on the football field, on the basketball court. You'll be willing to work 3 jobs to pay for your family, whatever you got to do, right? So set the standard like that as a coach. Whenever you love your athletes, they're going to start to love each other. And that team bond and the team unity is huge, and your team is going to skyrocket and excel more than they ever would any other time. And at the end of the day, I've coached numerous state champions. I've coached guys that have went on to be college All-Americans, been part of some, you know, I've got to coach on the national team, coached some, you know, various levels, right? And studying these things. The best athletes don't often come back and talk about winning this championship. And I've been on a national championship team as well in college. You don't come back and talk about winning the national title as much. They don't talk about winning the matches. Man, they talk about the relationships that they built. They talk about the good times and the hard times in the workout rooms whenever you had to push each other. They talk about the road trips. For us, we take Suburbans everywhere for our varsity. They talk about the conversations in the Suburbans or staying at a hotel. Some kids have never stayed at a hotel, right? And so it's fun. They get to stay there. Like my children, man, they love staying in hotels. I stayed at one hotel before college. My family, we didn't travel. We didn't have a lot of money and we didn't travel. So when I got to college and I was staying in hotels, that was exciting for me too. We traveled around the nation. I usually just saw the hotel, the gym, and maybe some other workout facility to cut weight. But dude, just staying in hotels was awesome. But those are things that you remember. It's the relationships that you build and the people that you're around. All right. So lead with love, love your athletes and set that example. Overcare about your athletes in every aspect of their life. Ask them how things are going at home. Check on them in the classroom. And then overcare about the little things, because we know that little things are going to end up being big things. Little things add up to big things. So make sure that your athletes know that and that they understand that. All these little bitty things that we're doing in here, from the way we walk in the room, to jump and rope, to warm up, to the way we clean and organize the weight room or clean and organize the wrestling room afterward. Cleaning up after ourselves after a tournament, making sure that the stands are clean so the custodians that work at that school don't have to do as much work. Helping out, being a good citizen. Overcare about the little things. And I'm talking about things that are significant. Some coaches, you know, might get onto a kid because their socks don't match, right? Or they've got different socks on than the rest of the team. That doesn't matter to me. I don't know, maybe basketball teams do that, or football teams or something, or wrestling. Like, we're all wearing the same wrestling singlet, but man, there are things you can personalize, and they make you feel good, right? And they make you stand out because you are, a unique individual. But for the most part, overcare about little things that are going to influence outcomes, and they're going to influence the kind of person that those who are under your charge are going to become one day. Because ultimately down the road, right, we say success and we look at wins and losses a lot of times, but what kind of people are they when they're 23, when they're 28, when they're 35 and they're married and they have kids? Guess what, coach? You had an influence on that. And if they're kicking butt and doing well, that's success. And if all they did was become a good athlete and have a little success in athletics, but did not become a better person in the process, your goal wasn't met. Your job wasn't done. And we can't 100%, we can't bat 1,000%. We can't 100, hit 100 out of 100. But man, we sure can't try. And every single person matters. So overcare. All right. I truly believe that as a coach and your assistant coaches and your team, like you're all in this together, man. People are like, oh, you can't, there's a fine line. You can't be friends and be their coach at the same time, or friends and their parents at the same time. I don't believe that. They'll know whenever you're the leader, whenever you're the boss, they'll know who the leader and the boss is when you do it well. But you can still be friends with them. You can still care about your athletes. Now, it's not like your friends, like you're going and kicking it on the weekend with them or something like that. But there's still a friend-friend relationship. I love being able to just walk down the hallway with one of my athletes and talk to them about their life. Or if needed, put my arm around their shoulder after they lost a match and just give them positive words of affirmation, and maybe just sit there with them, right? And be strong for them. My own children, I love them. I consider them friends. Now, they know who dad is. They know who the boss is. And my team the same way. If I tell them they better do something, then they know that's the expectation. They're going to do it, okay? But the days of – and there were football coaches, famous football coaches that did this. Like at practice, they never even got on the field with their athletes. They would stand up in a tower and shout out instructions. And they were authoritarian all the time because that's the way it was. It was more militaristic, all right? Man, that's not how it is these days. Build relationships, and part of that is, guess what? You can actually like each other. Hey, I think you're a pretty cool kid, man. And a lot of these, athletes that graduate, one of my athletes graduated and went to college and came back and became an assistant coach for me. He's still an assistant coach to this day and one of my best friends. Another one of my athletes graduated, went to college, came back, was an assistant for a while, and then moved on to another job. All right, he's one of my best friends. So doesn't mean that you're, like I said, one of their currently in your program, that you're completely best friends, but there is a friendship that you have there. There's a trust and a loyalty, all those things. So nothing inappropriate with it, but in an appropriate way. But coaches, don't think that you have to be standoffish all the time. Don't think that you cannot like your athletes. They can't like you as human beings. Hey, if they like you, I love Coach Thompson, man. One of my college coaches, loved him. I love hanging out with him when I was an athlete and today. When they like you, they're going to go to battle for you. Okay. Again, it comes back to this relational leadership, this relational coaching. For all of your athletes, and I had, so one of my assistant coaches now, who was one of my former athletes, he went and played college football, does a great job. You know, and any coach I bring into my program, and I'll talk about coaches here in a little bit, but I only bring certain type of people into my program. But we were talking, and he was just talking about how for us in our program, and it always has been when he was an athlete for me now, everybody matters. Everybody in the room matters. Early in my coaching career, I tried to do that, but I couldn't understand the kid who came to practice every day and didn't want to be a champion. He came to practice every day and didn't want to be the best kid on the team or the best kid in the state. Because that was always my goal, right? I wanted to be a state champion, national champion, All-American. After a couple of years, maybe just after 1 year, but I was after a couple of years, I realized, now when you get to college and you go and you compete in college, like this is a business, right? It's your life. But the high school level and below, sometimes people just want to be on the team. They just want to have friends. They just want to be in a positive environment. And there is nothing wrong with that. You still make them work hard. They still have to abide by the rules of the program. You still try to help them become the best version of themselves. It's amazing. Sometimes those kids grow so much. But again, they may not have that burning desire to be a state champion or national champion or even varsity, but they contribute in your room, all right? Everybody in your program matters. As a coach, you got to do this. Fill your athletes' emotional gas tanks. There are times that we break our athletes physically on purpose, right? We push them in practice until they don't think they can, you know, go anymore. We're finding their mental and physical walls and pushing them back, help them get in great shape, help them become more mentally tough. But we're also building them up. There was a coach, a great coach I heard this from, so this isn't my idea, okay? He says, throw fiery darts of positivity. Fiery darts of positivity. As a coach, it doesn't take a lot. I know that Coach Thompson could walk around sometimes in practice, maybe put his hand on my shoulder and say, hey, that was a great takedown right there. You're looking good today. Love your work ethic. Something like that. And dude, it just built me up. My confidence shot through the roof. Coach took time to talk to me. My confidence shot through the roof. If you see somebody doing something good, point it out immediately. Don't hold it inside. That's cheating them with that blessing. Point it out immediately. And it's easy for us, and I do it. I'll call my athletes out if they're not working hard enough as a team. You know, if it's individual, a lot of times we'll pull them over to the side and we'll have a talk with them. Sometimes call them out in front of everybody. Depends on the situation and on the athlete. You got to get to know them. Part of that's relationships, right? Get to know your athletes. But if you see somebody doing something good, point it out, because it's easy for us to point out the bad things. Everybody in the room slacking. You're not doing, you know, whatever it is. Okay, it's easy for us to complain and gripe. And that gets old quick, man. I tell you what, you yell all the time or you complain and gripe all the time, that becomes white noise in the background. Your athletes will no longer respond to it. But if you're going to make sure that you're pointing out the things that they got to improve on, point out the things that they're also doing well. That is so huge. And do that for everybody in the room. You have to do it for everybody every day, right? But your JV kid, your kid who maybe will never be a varsity kid, if you see him working hard, point him out. He matters. If your state champion's working hard, point him out. He matters. Everybody in the room. You got that first-year wrestler over there, that girl who's trying her hardest, and she finally gets a great head snap. She finally shoots a phenomenal sweep single. Man, show a little excitement. Let her know how good she's doing. That's going to build up her confidence. That's going to build up her mind, and it's going to build your relationship from coach to athlete. Because you are helping take them from one place to another. One place, here's where they are, here's where they want to go, and we're helping them on that journey. Okay, let me say this now. I'm going to stop there with relational leadership or relational coaching. Could go on, but I'm going to stop there with it. Coach, be you. Leader, be you. I've had some great coaches. Four of my coaches are in the National Hall of Fame for coaching wrestling. It's crazy. Most people don't even have one. And it's also when I even say that out loud, I'm like, dude, why wasn't I a better wrestler? I'm a pretty good wrestler. I had some success. I had some good success. There should have been even better. But be you. And here's what I mean. Most people coach how they were coached. Most people parent how they were parented. Most people lead how somebody else led them. Nothing wrong with that. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. If you had a great coach and they did some awesome things, take those things and incorporate them into your program and do them yourself. But if you had a coach who wasn't a good coach, maybe they were transactional, you don't need to use those things. There's some things we don't want to do. But use your own personality. I'm going to use football as an example. I coached football for 13 years. Football is just different in that, like, a lot of times we get our athletes hype and they're yelling and it's louder and you're outdoors, so you got to yell a lot of times across the field. But a lot of football coaches are very intense and they yell. I tell you, one of the books that changed me as a coach for the better and changed me almost immediately because it gave me permission to be myself, The Mentor Leader by Tony Dungy. I read that book, and if you know anything about Tony Dungy or ever seen him talk, he's a very calm, cool, collected man. And here he was coaching the NFL. He didn't cuss. He didn't allow his assistant coaches to cuss or the athletes to cuss. I don't know. I didn't play football for him. Maybe he yelled periodically, but from everything I've read and reading his books, he's not a big yeller. Yet he was very effective. Everybody on the team respected him and listened. You know, they listened to him. Use your personality. Coach Dungy used his. Use yours. You don't have to coach how you were coached, because if you are not a yeller and you're out there trying to yell because you think that's what you're supposed to do because that's what your coach did, that is inauthentic if that is not really you. Now, I can tell you me. Like I said, I gave myself permission to be me coaching after I read that book. I'm a little Tony Dungy and I'm a little Mike Tyson. There are times where I'm calm, cool, collected, and I can get everybody in the room to feel the same way. There are also times where I am completely explosive like Mike Tyson. And that's my personality. That's who I am. And I don't do that in a negative way. It's in a positive way where it's in, and we better get to moving. We're starting this drill over. Okay. But that's me. Be you. Give yourself permission to be you. Whenever you do that, you're going to enjoy it more. You're going to love the sport more. Your athletes are going to see the authenticity. They're going to listen to you more. And all around, it's just going to be better. Coach, you're the example. You get to be the standard. I got to remind myself of that all the time. All right, so that's my next point. Be the example. I love leaders that are willing to get their hands dirty. I remember a few years ago, I was working, we were doing a volunteer project on a concert here in town. Big concert, outdoors. And afterward, all the volunteers, people are helping clean up. And there's a guy who's super high level, a CEO, and he's getting his hands dirty. He's out there literally emptying trash cans. Didn't have to, man. This dude, high level. But he was willing to get his hands dirty. And I said, that's a man I can follow right there. All right. As a coach, I jump in there and I try to do strength conditioning in my athletes and not just do it, but be the hardest worker in the room and lead the way. And I understand there's a point where maybe you're older and you can't do that in your career or whatever, or maybe injuries or whatever, but try to be the leader the best you can and be the leader in all the pillars and standards that you hold your team to. Those things that you have written in your handbook, right? We call it our honor code book. Those things you have written in your handbook, you try to be and make sure your assistants are trying to be the example. The culture that you're setting, the language that you use in the room, the way that you treat other people. As coaches, we got to be the example on those things. It cannot be, people said this and it's just silly. You know, people will say, don't do what I do. I want you to do what I say. Okay. Don't listen only to what I say. As a coach, I want you also to see it and to do it, because I know that's what's going to happen. So if you are trying to like skirt by and say like, well, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to say this, and you should only do the things that I say, not that I do, you're cheating your athletes, you're cheating yourself, okay? Because they are going to see what you do. They are going to follow that. And when they're doing their own thing and it's outside of our standards, outside of our core pillars and beliefs, again, we hold them accountable. But coach, you got to try to be the example. For me, I'm trying to be the example. But we're human, okay? We're human. We're going to mess up. Let your athletes know that. Don't have to try to be perfect all the time. Don't even pretend to be perfect all the time. I let my athletes know, hey, I was a mess when I was younger, and I don't go into a lot of details on that, right? You got to be smart about the things that you're saying with your athletes and your students, but I was a mess when I was younger at different points in my life, and there are areas I'm still a mess in today, and I'm going to mess up. I'm going to let you down sometimes. You're going to let me down sometimes. We're human beings. We are imperfect, but we're going to jump right back up. It's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up, right? We're going to jump right back up. We're going to get right back on the horse, right back on the wagon, and we're going to go after it, and we're going to try to be our best, and we're going to try to be the positive example the best we can. But be real, be human. Again, that allows for connections. That allows for empathy, okay? Whenever an athlete messes up, and I can say, hey, you know what, man, I've been there before, and I can give an appropriate example of where I mess up at some point in my life, there's empathy. Now I'm saying, guess what, man? I've been in your shoes. And if you haven't been, at least listen, but I've been in your shoes. I've walked that mile. I understand. And here's what happened. Here's how I came out of this on the other side better. Here's what I was taught during the process or what I learned during the process. So be real, be human, be authentic, be transparent. And when you do that, this allows connection and allows for empathy. Okay, the next point here. In building this culture and building this program and being a good coach and a good leader. Let your people use their skills. One of the very first things my dad talked to me about when I became a head coach, make sure that you are utilizing your assistant coaches. Each one of those assistant coaches have their own skill set and is 100% true. I do not hire yes men. I have coaches in my program that we are all moving the same direction. We have the same beliefs and value systems, and we all care about our athletes above anything else. All right. We have different skill sets. And when my coaches say, hey, coach, maybe we should do X, Y, or Z, probably 97% of the time we do it. I don't even question. I'm like, yep, let's do it. Now, there are times that I'm doing something specifically in a way, and maybe haven't communicated that well. And they may say, what do you think about this or this? And I say, well, here's why we're doing it this way. And then I give an explanation, and here's how we're going to do it, right? Because ultimately, I'm the head coach, so it falls back on me. But most of the time, my athletes or my coaches know. I tell them, dude, you got an idea. You want to help somewhere. You want to help with somebody. Just tell me, and let's do it. Let's roll with it, all right? I also tell my coaches this. Your job is to build relationships with the athletes and get in their lives and be in their lives and to care about them. It comes back to this whole relational coaching thing. Because of this, I'm not too prideful or egotistical. I know there, and I'm going to try to reach everybody on the team, and I love everybody on the team. But there are some kids that I'm just going to jive with, right? I'm just going to connect with immediately, and we're going to build this deep relationship. We get each other. There are other athletes that may not happen. Doesn't mean I don't love them. Doesn't mean they're not valuable, because we're all humans, and there are people you just jive with immediately and some that you don't. But if I don't jive with somebody, cool. One of my assistant coaches may completely, all right? So find those people that you make connections with, get in their lives, that's your job. Beyond anything that we're doing, technically beyond anything that we're doing, you know, that would be sports specific. Go in there and make relationships and let them know that you care and that you love them and be there for them and let's help them go from one place to the other, all right? But let your people use their gifts and their skills and their abilities. When you do that, your entire program is better. If you're a CEO and you are trusting and not micromanaging, you're trusting your people. And there are things that you got to take care of, right? I mean, ultimately, it's your business. Your name is the one that's in the forefront. But whenever you trust your people and you let them use, hey, there are so many things in life that I'm terrible at. But I have multiple assistants, and some of them are way better in those areas than I am. My wife and I, there are things I do at the house that I'm really good at and things I suck at, okay? There are things that, like, she is just so much more naturally gifted at doing when it comes to parenting or it comes to taking care of bills and things like that. She can take care of those. I can take care of the other things. And together, we work together as a great team. So let your people, let your assistant coaches or the people that work for you, work with you, let those people use their skill sets. Every single one of them matter, and because everybody on the team matters, we can reach everybody on the team easier that way and more effective that way, okay? I'm going to go to my last point here. My last point is this. be a raving fan of your athletes. I tell them straight up, I'm your biggest fan. You might think your mom and dad are your biggest fans. I'm your biggest fan. Mom and dad is ours too, okay? But I'm going to tell them that, right? I'm your biggest fan because I care about them. I want to see them succeed. I want you winning every match. I want you winning every tournament. I want you graduating with a 4.0 GPA. I love watching you work hard. I love watching you compete. Parents, the number one thing we can sell our kids is not being critical, is I love watching you compete. Coaches, it's the same thing. If my athlete goes out there and gets beat, man, wrestling is an emotional sport, right? And I get emotional sometimes. I get pumped for them, or I get angry, or I get sad, whatever, okay? And all those things happen multiple times every weekend at a tournament. But we don't talk to our athletes right after they compete. We talk to them at a different time. They cool down, we cool down, win or lose, and then we come back and we talk about it. Because here's the thing, on Monday, either way, we're back to work. And if it's something technical that we got to get better on, we're working on that on Monday. We're back to work and we're getting better technical. We're doing that regardless, win, lose, or draw. Okay, and that's what we're going to be doing. But be a raving fan of them. So when they win matches, you're not just happy because it makes you look good or your program look good. Truly happy for them because you know the heart that they put into it. You know how they are changing their lifestyle to become the best athlete, the best wrestler, whatever it is they can possibly be. They're eating, they're sleeping, their mindset, the way they're training physically, all those things. Man, you got to encourage that. You got to be there to walk through it with them. And you are in this with them. And then you got to be their biggest fans. Tell you what, man, whenever my athletes know that I care and I'm their biggest fan, they respond. And I know that because I've seen it. It's like the holy grail of coaching. And I've also experienced it as an athlete. Whenever my coach was my fan and my coach cared about me and my coach built that relationship, right? And cared about other aspects of my life. They care and I know they care because they said it and they ask about it. They ask about it. Maybe it's a hobby I do. And they ask, hey, how's that going? They ask me about a class that I'm in. They ask about my family, things that are important to me. That's what we got to do. Be raving fans of our athletes. Be raving fans of your program. Whenever you are, those athletes will become raving fans of yours. They will become raving fans of the program. Their parents will become raving fans of the program. And their parents are out there in the community, then the community will be raving fans of the program. And your program will continue to grow and make impact. And then the people that are in it, when they leave and they graduate, guess what? Now they have these skill sets to go and propagate that, to go and move that forward and to do that again. Maybe it's through coaching. Maybe it's through starting a business. Maybe it's working in a business and affecting the culture of that business in a positive way. It's influencing homes. Have parents tell us, like, you didn't just help our wrestler, you helped our home. Like, we got better. The things he came home and told us, or just being part of this, we got better. And I'm not bragging on me, because I had just this amazing coaching staff that we have, and we've been able to build this culture. But I want you to know this culture is fluid. It changes all the time. So you can't just say, like, I'm always like, here's what we do, and then, you know what, we did that great last year, and we're just going to set our laurels. No, it has to happen every year. Win the day. Win the minutes. Be very intentional about every one of these things I'm telling you. Be very intentional about being a transformational coach, about building relationships and being a relational leader. Being the example, letting your coaches or the people that you work with use their skill sets, being a raving fan. Be very intentional about those things. So, told you guys, man, we were taking a deep dive today. These are things I'm passionate about. These are ways that we've been able to build our program, positively impact lives. We're continuing to do so. And for me, and I hope that you feel this way too, if you're a coach listening to this, or if you are a leader of any sorts, I hope that you feel passionate about what you're doing. I hope that you feel passionate about seeing your people succeed and then helping them get from where they are to where they want to go, because they can't do it by themselves and they need you. And you're willing to be in their lives because of that. Hey, being a good coach is like being a good parent. Those things go hand in hand. All right. And there's days I promise I come home like, whoa, I'm a way better coach than I'm a parent, because you're with your family and your kids all the time, and you get to open up. And there's no manual for either one of these, but we do have good examples out there that we can see. So for me, I'm grateful for the examples I've had in other coaches. the men that I've been blessed to be around coaching, and then those that I observe from afar. Maybe it's through reading a book. Maybe it is from listening to a podcast. You know, maybe it's from going to a conference, whatever. All right. So as a coach, I want you to continue to study and be passionate about it. And then hopefully you can take some of these things that we do in our program. You can implement them in your own program and in your own life. All right, man. This has been another episode of Coach P's Perspective. Love you guys. Thanks so much for getting on and listening. Please share with somebody else. And this episode especially, man, you know a coach. Share this on social media. Send it to them via text. Anywhere you can find podcasts, we're pretty much there, right? Apple Podcasts, Spotify. There's all kinds of podcasting sites out there. We're on pretty much all of them. Okay, Google Podcasts, whatever. So share out Coach P's Perspective to them this episode. And then if you would, jump on and give us a 5-star review and a quick written review. That helps us out to be able to get the word out. Love you guys. God bless. Thanks for getting on. Peace.
Podcast complete, now me working overtime. I'm just a vessel for the spirit. When it's in me, then I shine. If the clay gets broken, he makes some whole new pottery. Repent for your sins, tell Satan to stay up off of me. With a new step, CSL rep, pop, lock and rock. Coach P, who never stops.